Garingin denami jojo mo berono. Garingin denami jojo mo berono. Garingin denami jojo mo berono. Kayan man marangay, kayan man marangay. Cagur pun kayon go. Kayan man marangay, cagur kon kanyon ko. Kayan man marangay, cagur kon kanyon ko. Karingin denami, karingin denami. Jojo mo berono. Karingin denami, jojo mo berono.
Good morning, my name's Carver Watson, CEO of 98.9 FM. I'd like to welcome our listeners this morning to a special broadcast, a final Let's Talk segment for 2016, in which we remember Tiger Bales, who we sadly lost earlier in the year. Tiger was a long-time campaigner for our people and our community, and spent many years on the air broadcasting through his show Let's Talk through 98.9. Before we commence our broadcast, I'd like to acknowledge his brothers, Philip, John, Jim and Michael, and his sister Robin. I'd like to acknowledge his daughters, Lena, Caillou, Yarika, Mara, Binui, Jida and Alkia. We also acknowledge his grandchildren. Today we'll hear the stories of staff of 98.9 FM, along with tributes from people from the community and media industry, along with excerpts from Tiger himself, taken from over the years. I'd like to warn our listeners that this broadcast will contain the voices of deceased people. Finally, I'd like to leave acknowledgement for Tiger to do in his own words, which he did at this time every morning for over 10 years. Before acknowledgement, we would finally like to observe a brief moment of silence to remember both him and all those who we've lost during the course of the year.
I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company.
My name's Roger Knox. I met Tiger many years ago in Sydney. Tiger used to run the Koori Radio in Sydney, and you know, I sat and talked with not only Tiger but his mum, his brothers, and I. You know, he was a great supporter of you know, Aboriginal music and up and comers, and I think that's the only way we could get our music played at the time. You know, when we first got our recordings going, and we couldn't get it played on mainstream radio, and it was people like Tiger who supported us and, you know, promoted us and interviewed us many times. Every time I met Tiger, he was always, you know, doing something to uplift and encourage Aboriginal people in many different areas, and he was a committed and dedicated man to his people, you know. And well, he was a gifted man as well, and you know, in his career, he just went out of his way to promote, uplift, and encourage Aboriginal people in all areas.
Black man, tell me all his stories, show me all his tribal ways. See the paintings of his fathers, pictures of their dreamtime days.
He often talked about, you know, the Aboriginal people and the conditions that he liked to work with and just encourage. But he was a great inspiration too as well. And And I'd say he had great faith. And, you know, in faith is often called a leap. I mean, how else could you possibly move from one point to another? You know, faith is leaping across gaps and closing gaps, you know, that exist between the known and the unknown, the proven and the unproven, the actual and the possible, the grasp and the reach. I mean, he had all this. The got it and the I want it, the knowledge, you know, the material and the spiritual. He's a great spiritual man, I believe. And that's my thoughts on Tiger. So, you know, he had this right till his last, and to me he was a great man, and, you know, he believed, and I quote from one of my great aunties, who said, "I believe in the rights of all human beings, especially Aboriginal human beings," and this was Tiger as well. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and I hope, you know, and that his memory will just live on, and I'd just like to say, may he rest in peace. Thank you, my brother.
As the ships entered Botany Bay, Aborigines watched on as they did 200 years ago.
I haven't got the sensitivity to understand the provocative nature of this exercise.
What I did learn from him most of all was the way to talk to people, I suppose. Use your words. And no, I think that's one of the most powerful tools our people have is our words, you know, our history. And he was staunch on that, using words, and, as I say, was imposing, but never sort of used his size to his advantage, I suppose. He always used his intellect, and I thought that was really something to look up to.
Mm. You know, what are some of the things that resonate with you, and some of the things that you remember and that you learned?
Just about taking the time to value every person's opinion. It didn't matter if it was, you know, a hobo on the street or prime minister. Like, you listen to everybody's words, you take them in, and then you process it and make your argument or your judgment or your call. You know, nobody's opinion was stupid or unwarranted, and I think that's, you know, being, as you say, I'm not big on the word leader either, but the leader is someone you look up to and you follow, and many people did that, including myself. And yeah, those are the sort of things that you remember, and I think you take with you for the rest of your life, that nobody's opinion's better than yours or those sort of things, you know.
This march is so long, I just watched the front of it, and they're being led by all the traditional mob, doing the dances and stuff. Beautiful.
He didn't take a backward step from the hard issues and the difficult decisions to be made, and what he did was always in the best interest of our station there, and of course always keeping in mind what was best for the community out there too. He was definitely a very effective leader of his time, and his untimely death has left quite a void, not just at the station, but in the world of radio communications and so forth, where he was widely respected.
You think about what white Australia is celebrating today. 200 years of colonisation. It's 200 years since they invaded Aboriginal land. And some of the people seem to expect Aboriginal people, the Indigenous people of this country, to participate in the birthday party. What bullshit. That would be like asking the Jewish people to celebrate an anniversary of the Holocaust. If we start to look at the situation as a people struggle, don't think of it as, oh, we've got to do something for the bloody blacks again. Support Aboriginal people in their demands for self-government, self-determination, self-management, self-sufficiency.
He was father figure, an uncle. Yeah, and it was like a safe haven as well. He made you feel safe. You know, he was just a really strong, strong man. You know, we all have strong men in our lives, and he was definitely one of them. He wanted what every other white fella station had out there, but he wanted it better because we deserved it.
He was the first black fella, really, when I started the National Indigenous Times. That was in 2001, and we were told very early, you've got to go and see Tiger Bales in Brisbane. You've got to go and see him. He's the king of media. And so we did. And right from the get-go, he was very, very generous with his time, which I didn't really understand because I was a white boy without much knowledge, but plenty of stereotypes in my head. And I thought I would really have to work hard to get someone like Tiger's attention. But he was very, very supportive. And he wasn't just like that with me. He was like that with everyone. He was very, very generous with his time. And that rubbed off on me a bit. I'm not as generous as Tiger, but I try to be more patient and generous with my time. So that was one of the really big lessons I learnt from Tiger.
I guess with Tiger, I've actually written a poem for him that I'll be doing, but he was someone who just gave me a greater sense of my Aboriginality. It's hard to explain the feeling you get when you do a poem for Tiger Bales and he was standing there kind of nodding his approval, and you when you get that off him and just what it meant, because I'd always thought my poems were kind of simplistic and stuff like that, and I remember when I first actually performed them, and the way people reacted, and it's kind of funny how I was thinking before, like some of the amazing places I've managed to my poetry, and one of those places was at the Sydney Opera House for the Australian Poetry Slam, the finals, when I went down representing Queensland. And I think it's strange, here I am at the Sydney Opera House, and this place is packed and everyone's, cheering and that for my poetry. And then I thought of this time in the lunchroom when I did one of my poems, and I had Tiger and Auntie Lilla Watson and Auntie Mary Graham sitting there, and they're looking at me and smiling and nodding, and I went, well, the approval I got from those three people meant more to me than a full room at the Sydney Opera House could ever mean. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain when you get that approval from people like Tiger. And anyway, here's the poem. Black spirit that could not be tamed, now brighter glows, ancestral flame. So freely soar among our old while here on earth your deeds are told. The deeds born of a caring heart, a heart whose fire is unsurpassed. For love of your people, fan the flame that rightly earned the warrior name. You fought the struggle, there was no choice, and in our loss we found your voice. And so you spoke so all may hear the plight of those you hold so dear, and led you not, yet showed the way to a time of our ancestral days. Reminding me I must reject the deeds and words of disrespect. You spoke, I woke, my chains were broke. Your acts of fearlessness invoked this greater sense of who I am, and made of me a greater man. You gifted all courageous heart, a light of might through times of dark, a champion's voice to those unheard, who delivered fools the scorn deserved. And so in truth, you are not gone. You'll live till there are no more dawns. You will not face mortality. Your name etched in black history, a history that stronger is for the simple fact that you have lived. And now in history's corridor, you stand there proud, a warrior, so let you rest. Your fight is fought, let it carry on through all you're taught, as memories come to firmly hold the ways of you, the ways of old. And so it is, this sense of pride, a dignity that's now amplified, a black spirit that cannot be tamed, so brightly glow, ancestral flame.
Well, this is Archie Roach, and I met Tiger back in the day when he was in Sydney and Skid Row and Redfern. When he had his long hair and his moustache and his cowboy hat. I remember him well and fondly from those times when we used to do do the Building Bridges concerts in the Bondi Pavilion in Sydney with different Aboriginal acts mainstream Australian acts like Paul Cully and the Messengers and Crowd House and
people like that. So you know, Tiger's always been, you know, as far as, you know, and going on being interviewed, blown there at Building Bridges concerts, and going into the old studio in Redfern, which was just an old building that was basically like was falling down most of it. You know, so Tiger, my friendship with Tiger started back then, but through the years, you know, when he left and went back out to Brisbane, up to Queensland, you know, he gets up there, do shows, or gets into the radio station, Murray Country. So he's a brother, you know, a brother, a good friend. Yeah, to stay with him sometimes, me and Ruby, when we was up that way. So he had a big impact on my life. He's an amazing man that did a lot to showcase, especially, you know, Aboriginal artists in the country. Yeah. Oh, look, you know, he for his work, you know, for what he's done, like I said, what he's done for First Nation, you know, peoples, artists, and you know, working with young people in communities and with film and radio, just a fighter, you know, for his people and to get our voice heard, and that's his legacy that we. Our voice, that we might be heard in whatever capacity, whether it be, you know, through the arts, music, or politics, or just our say, you know, just to have a say and how we feel about things and our communities, and it's a great legacy, and he'll be remembered for some a champion. Someone who championed that cause, you know, to have a voice heard. Yeah. Well, this is Archie Roach, and thanks, Ty. Thanks, Tiger. You know, you've been a beautiful brother. You know, an inspiration to me. An inspiration to me. And many others, I'm sure, you know. So thank you for all you've done. Thanks for your courage and for giving us a voice, brother. Always love you. Always be in my heart. And I'll catch you there. I'll catch you up in the dream bus. Yeah.
Side, we'd walk along to the end of Gertrude Street, and we'd tarpaulin muster for a quart of wine. Thick or thin, right or wrong, in the cold and in the heat, we'd cross over Smith Street to the end. Then we'd laugh and sing, do anything to take away the pain, trying to keep it down as it first went down in Charcoal Lane. Spinning yarns and telling jokes, now the wine is tasting good, 'cause it's getting closer and closer to its end. Have a sip and roll some smokes. We'd smoke tailor-mades if we could, but we just may do with some city street blend. Then we'd all tuck in and we'd start to grin when we had enough to do it again. But if things got tight, then we had to part for Charcoal Lane.
Gertrude Street, we'd walk once more with just a few cents short, and we'd stop at the builder's to see who we could see. Then we'd bide around until we score a flagon of MacWilliams Port, enough to take away our misery. And we'd all get drunk, oh so drunk, and maybe a little insane. And we'd stagger home all alone, and the next day we'd do it again. Have a revival in Taco Lane. I'm a survivor of Taco Lane.
His media personality and people who only knew him through Let's Talk would probably have quite a very serious image of him. And he was a serious man, you know. He spoke about so many hard-hitting topics and serious issues. But if you only ever heard or sort of knew him through Let's Talk, you missed out on a whole sense of humour, a wicked sense of humour, and a bloke who loved a joke and loved a laugh. Do you have any sort of those memories that you'd like to share, or a story?
Yeah, well, when I had finished a certificate, one of my certificates, I think it was Cert 4, in Screen and Media, he went to shake my hand for the certificate, and it was when he had broken his leg from a motorbike accident on this massive Harley. So I just completely forgotten. I was so excited, and we're all laughing and you know, getting distracted, and as you do. And I've gone and pulled him in for a big kind of handshake hug thing, and he's nearly toppled over me, and I've gone, what am I going to do? So just, I got some just really good memories. Just of his laugh is all really just sticks with you.
He had a great laugh, didn't he? Like, it was a really deep belly laugh. You just had to join in. It made you want to laugh, listen to his laugh.
We were on a plane going to, maybe it was Palm Island or something, small planes, and the other guy that I was working with, his undies fell out and landed on... and landed on the guy that was sitting down, like he was putting his bags in overhead, and yeah, a pair of men's undies fell on this bald guy's head, and Tiger just cracked up, and he just didn't hold back, and the guy just didn't know what to do, and then the undies slid down his face.
He would have found that even more funny.
Yeah, Tiger was just slapping his leg, and the whole plane was just like, what the hell?
Scientology had sent us this big, thick booklet, I guess because we're a media organisation, promotion on Scientology. And I came up and I was walking past his room, and I came back and then held the booklet up to my chest with the Scientology label facing out, and I went to Tiger and said, Tiger, I just wonder if I could get some of your time. And I regurgitated some of what I'd read in the Scientology thing, and I'm just wondering if, you know, we can give it more time and you can sit down with me and we can talk further about it. And it was just dead quiet.
Mm. I'd imagine he would have centred his eyes on you.
Yeah, but I sold
pretty directly.
I sold it really well. And he looked at me, he looked at the book, he looked back at me and said, you can stick that up your ass. No, I'm just messing with you.
Did he come around and have a giggle?
Yeah.
Very good.
The actual funny story I have, when he started talking about having to do a Gunnar while he was on Let's Talk. Yeah, I'm thinking, how are you talking about doing Gunnar? That's definitely something that pops into mind. But no, it was the humour. I don't know how many times we had, you know, just big laughs.
Yeah.
And then upstairs, they're just talking stupid and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just about anything, really. Just Womba talk.
A good one in my mind now is he went and fixed up some of the guests' headphones, and when he went to sit back down, the seat was far away, so he just totally missed it. So he just went.
Yeah, he went bundy up.
Yeah, bundy up.
So we're sitting at this table with Jackie from BBM, a few of her crew, a few of our crew from Beamer, and he just leans over. He's sitting next to Trish and grabs her ankles. It's like, oh, check out the snake. Snake there. She jumps up and starts running and just slapping him over the shoulder.
You know, I've been in conversations with him. We'd be sitting there having a laugh and his voice would go up and he'd be, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then the phone would ring and he'd look down at it and he'd go, hang on a sec. Hello. Yeah, it made me laugh every time because, you know, that person on the other end of the phone there, you know, it must have been, hopefully it's a good reason why you're ringing him because, you know, he was having a good laugh there and you just interrupted him.
he was just cheeky and he always scared you. Like, he knew I had a fear of snakes and he'd always, you know, grab you by the leg and, yeah. And just his cheeky grin.
One of the funniest things I remember is he came to Sydney to see one of his daughters, and he'd ridden his I don't think it was a Harley, it was his big hog basically. He'd ridden it all the way from Brisbane to Sydney. I think he basically hadn't stopped. He had a swag on the back for no apparent reason, and he pulled up at my place, and I heard him coming from a mile away, so I came down to meet him. And went to get off the bike and his legs had basically fallen asleep. So he's stumbling around trying to hold this enormous black man, trying to hold this enormous black motorcycle up, and he didn't succeed. It went crashing over. He thought it was pretty funny. I was just kind of puzzled. Just went, what's going on here?
When I was having the first of these bouts with the old ticker, I was up to the hospital and then into the hospital. The next thing I'm hearing from the big man is, no more live broadcasting for you. I want to come in here and find a bloody body laying on the floor. That sort of thing, you know?
He had a wicked sense of humour like that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, yeah.
You know, no matter if he growled you, which was very rare, you always had a laugh after it. So you always felt a sense of, yeah, okay, we're not going to dwell on it. We're just going to pull our socks up and do better.
He always made you feel good about laughing along because he had a very deep belly laugh.
Yeah, and how. Yeah, he was that big, gruff, baby, you know, and the voice, you know. But he had a good heart. He really did, yeah.
Well, I remember I probably first met Tiger in the 80s at the time of the Commonwealth Games in the Goanna days, and he was a great campaigner through those years for land rights and the rights for Aboriginal people, and then he turned all that agitation into action, and right back in the days of Triple Z and then through to Murray Country and then establishing 98.9 as a mainstream station run ostensibly by Aboriginal people, and that was an incredible achievement, an incredible vision that he realised. That's the vision and the legacy that he leaves behind him.
Standing on Sahara, standing on sacred ground, living on borrowed time, the winds change, going down that lane.
He was always a great supporter of me and of my music, and I always fondly remember him. And like I said, 98.9 is a major mainstream station in a capital city. All those trainees that have come through there and will continue to come through there is a testament to his great legacy. I think his legacy is in terms of media and building a radio station, I suppose, into a mainstream station. It completely changed the game in Australia for what Aboriginal people could achieve and do, and that you could create a mainstream radio station that had really broad appeal. And I know he copped a lot of criticism for that in the early days, you know, because it moved away from being purely an Aboriginal station. But, you know, he really set a clear new path for what could be achieved from in terms of Aboriginal radio, Aboriginal media in general. And I think, you know, those achievements were probably the catalyst and for things like NITV and the other media networks, Indigenous media networks that have grown, sprung up. You know, he was a very early pioneer of that stuff and was very broad in his vision, and I think that legacy will live for a long, long time. Fly on, brother.
Into Ironka, Narinhi, Walpa Kampa Kucha Parani, Walpa Puka Ringani.
And there was this other side of Tiger which I got to see, which was, you know, on air he was a formidable character, and in real life and in politics he was a very formidable character. I mean, everyone would have seen footage of him standing on the front line of countless protests. He's in the one in Canberra when Gillard lost a shoe, pushing back a copper who's just punched a black fella. So he had this really staunch barrel-chested persona. But I got to see the other side of Tiger as well, around his family, and he was a very, very doting father, more than I've seen really in any father, black or white. I mean, it's probably reflected in the fact he won Father of the Year for Queensland, but he was a very, very doting father, and he was really doting with his girls, but seeing him around his grandkids, he just melted.
Just to all the extended family, you know, thank you for sharing your father with us, and your grandfather and your uncle, and you know, he was certainly a father figure to many of us here, and you know, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that family.
Look, to his family, from me as chairperson on the board there, on behalf of myself and other board members, I'd like to extend the very best wishes for a wonderful festive season, a wonderful Christmas, and a very happy and prosperous new year throughout 2017 and far beyond.
Thank you all for sharing him with us. I mean, you know, yeah, I don't know. Just thank you.
I remember meeting Tiger's mum, Maureen, in 1979 at Kumiala Theatre, just other side of the river there at Mildura, Wentworth. It was funny because she said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Neil Murray." She said, "Murray? That's a black fella's name." And at the time, I wondered what could that be, you know. Later on, early 80s, I was down in Sydney in 83 trying to get a bit of interest in the band, and did up the artwork for Jalinga and Puckett's single, and remember meeting Merv Donovan. Somehow, all that process, I got introduced to Tiger, and he said, "No worries, you know, we'll help you. I've got this," he had the Murray Jama music thing going, we've got this PA and all that, and he was all going to support us for a little tour. So, the funny thing was, when we got down later that year for the tour, somehow the track or something had broken down in Queensland and wasn't around. But that was just a minor hiccup in Tiger's big picture vision, because I remember him raving enthusiastically about Aboriginal radio and how, you know, it's going to advance the interests of all First Nations people everywhere and educate the mainstream. And, you know, he was right, because it was on the cusp of a great thing. There was Indigenous radio starting up all over. There was Karma and Ellis, and Tiger was riding the wave of that. And it coincided, dovetailed neatly with the Warrumbi band taking off and a lot of other bands. So we immediately had a great support network and an outlet for our music to reach the grassroots, all the communities. So in many ways, he's a visionary that way. And ever since then, even in my own solo career, he was always an enthusiastic supporter. And I remember only in recent times, a couple of years ago probably, we had an extensive conversation on his program at Brisbane. Wide-ranging, and, yeah, he's a magnanimous man, and, yeah, generous time and always supportive. That's what I think I remember about him the most. This is Neil Murray. I just want to thank Tiger for the memories and all his support, and I'm going to miss you, brother, but we're still going on. We're still going ahead with all the dreams and the vision that you used to articulate so well.
Tiger brought about a lot of change that was instrumental in being part of a group down there in the 70s for Aboriginal people right throughout Australia. He was very active in the community. He was certainly one of the main players with the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in the beginning.
I sing for the black and the people of this land.
His legacy just goes on and on. Tiger was just able to send those messages out. Sometimes they were subtle, and sometimes they were straight between the eyes, you know. He didn't mess around with it. To make sure the message was out there, and particularly with young people coming through, Tiger was at the forefront of all that. You know, Tiger was able to mentor a lot of younger people coming through, like Amy McGuire, for instance, that has certainly picked up the reins and will no doubt continue to, but not just in Queensland Murray Radio, but certainly just about every state of Australia. There's a young Tiger Bales that's coming through.
Now I'm singing for the goal of a new year, young and old. Yilale, 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 yilale.
The presence of media people is so important in our world. The good media people, sometimes the people who break the barriers and are the change agents that we require, they make other people feel pretty solid and deadly about what they're doing. They can bring about the change that is required. So in his own right, he was just a tremendous change agent. He wanted to impose himself on the racism and the indifference and the systemic bias and the unequal access that Aboriginal people have to a proper quality of life, and he did that. He did that with a plum.
Yilale, 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 yilale.
In our world is equivalent of any of the other heroes around the world that people aspire to. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, the inroads, the things that he was a part of, as was many other, you know, pioneers in our struggle. The efforts that they made, the sacrifices that they made we often don't give enough kudos or enough accolades to how significant they really are. And when you look at the sacrifices and the personal sacrifices that those particular families and then these family have made and these children have made so that he could do the work that he's done is truly something to be grateful for.
I sing unto him of the Most High.
To me, look, he was a large personality. I mean, when he came into the room, you knew that he was there determined, but fair. Always wanted what was fair. Never wanted anything that, you know, that he thought, you know, that he should be just given. He was a very fair and wanted to always give something in return. Great sense of humour. You could always see the funny side in things which sometimes were quite serious. But I think that there would be many wonderful memories that he would leave behind. Whilst it's very sad, that a lot of memories that people would be able to draw upon, you know, during their time of grieving, that's for sure.
I sing so much praises, it makes me want to cry.
I think the first time I ever put him in a studio with a radio script, he started reading it and he just didn't sound like right. You know, he was really lacking energy and couldn't get that presentation. And he said, you know, I think I can do this off the top of my head. I don't need to read the script. And I was like, okay. And it was quite a long intro to a documentary we were making. And sure enough, Tiger displayed those skills, which, you know, of course resonated throughout his life. That skill of just being totally, totally engaging, speaking from the top of his head with no script, didn't stumble once. It was fluent. It was beautiful. It was so descriptive. And I think from that day on, that's basically how he did his radio.
Now I'm singing just for you, so all can recognize.
Made his own niche in that
national scene because he was a very good-looking young man with flowing locks of hair and the big hat, and, you know, he looked like a powerful figure and his message was powerful. So he was always going to have that impact because he was a man of substance. And he carried that, I think, into the latter years of his radio program.
People loved him, people didn't love him, but, you know, his commitment there was really strong, and I think a lot of people confused that, you know, because he was so staunch and so strong. He would stand up and people would go, oh, Tiger. But, you know, to me, the bottom line was always to make sure that First Nations people did have a voice within media, which we're still doing today. We're still hearing, you know, people having discussions about Aboriginal people with no Aboriginal people there. Tiger Bales was one of the most influential Aboriginal people in our time and for all people across Australia, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people. He gave a voice to those, whether or not that you'd be a homeless person or the Prime Minister or prominent leader. He gave a voice to us, and through his voice where our issues were heard, and his belief in ourselves to have self-determination and to be in charge of our destiny is something that will be greatly missed, but something that is carried in so many people across the country.
What Tiger has left for us is that we've got to step outside our own immediate interests and take the interests of the whole mob. You know, he always started his interview with, now, who are your mob? You know, he was able to do that. He was able to sort of say, look, we're all in this together. Let's do what's best for all of us. There was not an ounce of greed or there was no minimal focusing on him. He looked at the big picture. I think that's what the big thing is for me, is look beyond everything and think, is what is the best for everyone?
Sing for the black, sing for the red and the gold, stories told for young and old.
I was always aware of him from a number of years, and just the esteem that other activists actually held him in. So, you know, from a Victorian perspective, I'd always hear people like Gary Foley talking about Tiger and the sorts of stuff that he'd done. But for mine and my direct contact with him, it was his absolute dedication to elevating the voices of the next generation. So he was really, really invested in ensuring that, you know, the youth and the people coming up were given the platform and were given the support in order to grow.
Yulale, 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 yulale.
What Tiger's done, and the work that he's done with us, there's quite a few of us that now have Tiger in our heads and in our hearts. I know for me personally, yeah, Tiger taught me a lot. You know, one of which was to be fearless in your convictions and not to stop. Not all these, you know, change isn't always popular, but if change is focused on the good and improving things for our communities, and particularly those without a voice, then we should pursue them regardless. So I think that's something Tiger taught me, and he taught quite a few of us over the last 7 or 8 years. And I think, from what I hear, he's done that with many other people. So I think Tiger's legacy will continue, and how all of us continue to respond to our communities and live his vision for strong community-controlled organisations that are independent of government. To thank Tiger's family. You know, I know such a, you know, the important contribution he's made, not just here in South East Queensland with us fellas in the LSEC, but all across the country and media and the Land Council, the whole lot. I think we thank Tiger's family, particularly his girls, for sharing their father with us. Because I think it's we see him, but all that time he was able to give us. Which meant it wasn't time that was necessarily given to his family. So we thank we thank his family and our deepest condolences from the Institute for Indigenous Health and our four member organisations, our four Aboriginal Medical Services, on his passing. Practical, important things in our community. He built organisations. He worked with people on the front line of all of the issues that affect us. So he wasn't just a talker, he was a doer. And he worked shoulder to shoulder with an older generation of people. And then, you know, in these last decades of his life, he increasingly worked with younger people in relation to the cause to which he had dedicated his life. You lose a great man.
I often say to people, if we're to close the gap, really, we, all people that call this place home, First Nations people included, must learn the true history of the place they call home, the true history of this country. If we know the true history of this country, we can close that gap of ignorance. People will develop a better understanding, more awareness, a better understanding. With that understanding comes respect. If the respect is there, we're on the pathway to a more harmonious coexistence. No question about it. Learn the true history of our country, all of us. But I think, to use an old cliche, an old saying of Malcolm X, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Too many of our people are a part of the problem simply by not recognising the power we have as First Nations people. The power we have is in our culture and it's in our identity. And we can reinforce that with this media if we're in control of our media. We assert that, take that power, and encourage all of our mob to continue on in developing a stronger identity and stronger culture. That's where our power is.
to be